the beauty comes. Welcome, everyone. Welcome. It's so good to see everyone. Welcome, too, to our online viewers. It's a real honour and a privilege to be here speaking as part of this Living in Babylon series, where we've been focusing on living in a secular Australia in a similar way to Daniel lived as an exile or a foreigner or a stranger in Babylon more than 2,000 years ago. And in the first week, Caleb, his message was called Wise Up. Andrew's last week was called Speak Up, and today it's called Stand Up. So I'm going to ask you all, if you're able to stand up. Anyone can stand up. So how do you feel? Just take a moment. How do you actually feel when you stand up? Yep, some people feel tired, I heard that. you may feel strong. You may actually feel aware of your body, aware of the aches and the pains, or maybe you feel, you know, strong. You may be more aware of people around you, ready for action. You may actually feel that movement, hopefully you do. You may see things from a different perspective because you're standing up a little bit higher, or maybe things are a bit blocked because there's a big head in front of you. You may feel empowered as well just by standing. So now that you've all stood up, I'll get you all to sit back down again. So just compare, how do you feel sitting down? Probably quite a little bit more relaxed, a little bit more chilled, a bit calmer, maybe a little bit smaller. Some of you might feel a little bit restricted if there's someone big sitting alongside of you. Regardless, the Bible tells us that there is a time and a place for everything. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to laugh, a time to cry, a time to weep, a time to speak, a time to be silent. And in that regard, as what I'm sharing today, there's a time to stand up. There's also a time to sit, which is what you're doing now. And as we have opportunity to stand up, you know, we're standing up in to those around us. We can be countercultural in our beliefs and our faith in God. We can act differently to those around us, speak differently, and obviously we can believe different things all through standing up for our faith in God. Now, just a couple of stand-up moments in time that's helped us get where we are here today. If you think about probably the first one that comes to mind for me is the Me Too social movement that's really just, you know, come against the culture of sexual violence in our culture. If you think back to Labor Day, which actually started in the 1800s, you know, a group of people stood up because they were sick of working 12-hour days, and they stood up to be able to work for 8 days, rest for 8 days, and what was the other one? Just recreate, have other than work and rest time. If you think about the people who stood up for education for all people, not just the wealthy, you know, we're all recipients of that today because somebody stood up for their beliefs. And if you think of the anti-discrimination laws that, again, we live by today, again, people stood up so that others wouldn't be discriminated against because of their age, their religious beliefs, their sex. And, you know, we have so many freedoms today because somebody in the past dared to stand up for their beliefs and they acted on their convictions. So me growing up, I wasn't necessarily, you know, one of those people who stood up a lot. I was happy to kind of be someone who was a little bit more in the background. And I grew up in a Christian home. I had beautiful, you know, loving Christian parents. Obviously, my siblings were Christian. My extended family was also Christians, my uncles and aunties, all of that. I attended a Christian primary school and I really lived in a Christian bubble. Until I started high school, and oh my goodness, you know, my Christian beliefs were very much mocked. You know, I was put down, you know, because of my Christian beliefs, and as a result of that, I tended to be quiet about my Christian beliefs, and I didn't stand up. And in fact, I was, you know, pondering. I couldn't think of one other person who I actually went to school with who stood up for their Christian beliefs. So I was very much, I had Christian beliefs, but I wasn't standing up for them in the society, in the people group that I was doing life with. But thankfully, you know, something has shifted in my life, you know, since then. And I think I've just discovered, you know, just the wonder and the kindness of Jesus and who he is. And, you know, that's caused me now to not be ashamed, to not be afraid, to be able to share my Christian beliefs. And I'm happy to stand up, obviously, here. I'm standing up today in front of all of you, sharing about my Christian beliefs. Now, we've all had opportunities in our lives where we've maybe stood up for something, our Christian beliefs, or maybe we haven't. And I just want to clarify, today is a judgment-free space. I don't know where you're at with standing up for your Christian beliefs, and I'm not here to pass judgment at all. If you take, just ponder back this last week, you know, the US election has been happening, and oh my goodness, you know, there are some passionate people out there who are not afraid to stand up and share their beliefs on who they think would make the best president of the US. And if you think about even, you know, in our news, there's so many, you know, politicians and people that are standing up, giving their opinions on what they think would be best for our country. And if you're a parent, you know, you are likely to have stood up. If your child has been maybe bullied in some way or picked on or whatever, even by one of their siblings maybe, you know, as a parent, we stand up for the right of our child to be able to live in a good moralistic environment in our homes. Or maybe you've been a friend who stood up for someone in the workplace or at school or at uni as well, just because you've seen something unjust happen and you want to see justice happen for that person. So it made me think, you know, what causes us to stand up or to not stand up in life? And I think a big one is probably apathy versus passion. You know, you're maybe convicted or not convicted of something. And also fear and confidence. You know, sometimes we're just too fearful, like I was in high school. For whatever reason, I was fearful of what my friends might think of my Christian beliefs. And if I stood up, would I be mocked and ridiculed? Would I be rejected and have no one? You know, and that goes on today, you know, even in my workplace, I face a similar sort of situation, because where I work, there's no other Christian as well. Now, when we stand up, we actually stand out. Now, Jack, can I get you just to stand up? So, here's Jack. He's standing up, very different to the rest of you. You know, he's upright. He's obviously much taller than everyone else. His viewpoint is... that's right. He is handsome, Olivia. That's right. And his handsomeness is evident for everyone to see, not just those that are close by to see. But, okay, you can sit down now, Jack. We've had enough of you now. No. But when we stand up for something or someone, we actually stand out from those around us, just like Jack. You know, so when we stand up for against bullying in our workplace or in our school, we're actually standing out from those who are doing it. So I just think that's a really important point to remember, that when we stand up, we actually also stand out. Now, I'm just going to recap a little bit of the series so far. In the first week, Caleb shared about Daniel and how many of the Jews in 600 BC were taken as slaves from Jerusalem to Babylon, where they actually lived as exiles, as strangers, as foreigners in a country that was not their real home. And as Jesus followers, we are similar to Daniel because we have the opportunity to live from a heavenly perspective, because we are actually citizens of heaven in a very non-Christian environment, in a non-heavenly society, where People aren't aware of God, and they certainly don't honour God or care about God. So in a way, you know, we too are exiles here on earth. And he also shared about the need for Jesus' followers to have spiritual wisdom, to be able to navigate the culture and the times like Daniel did, where he lived according to God's way. And then last week, Andrew shared that we all face situations where we have to choose whether we're going to speak out what God would want us to say, or whether we're going to choose to remain silent, or maybe choose to speak our own words. And he used the example of Daniel in the Bible explaining a dream that the king had. And he didn't do it in a proud way, but he just did it in a very humbling way. But he took the time to seek God for the correct interpretation, because he didn't want to lie to the king, but he wanted to honour the king, but also honour God in giving the accurate interpretation of the dream. And Daniel, he lived in Babylon, but Babylon and its culture did not live in Daniel's heart, because his heart belonged to God. And if you've been reading the reading plan that we've been encouraged to do over the last 2 weeks, and that we've been have also been encouraged to do throughout this whole series, you would have read about in the first book of Daniel, where Daniel and his three friends, Hananiah, Mishael and Azariah, were all really good looking men. They were healthy and strong and smart. They were trained in the ways of Babylon, and they worked for King Nebuchadnezzar in the palace, where they were highly esteemed and favoured. But they determined not to defile themselves by eating of the king's food and drinking the drink of the king's palace. So they actually took a stand, and they decided, nope, we're not going to do that. We're going to continue to eat the clean food, and we're going to obey God's rules, God's law, in what we should consume. So they took a stand right back there, and it's amazing that as a result of that, they were esteemed even more and promoted within the kingdom. And now, today, we actually are going to go through the story of, or the chapter of Daniel 3, and we'll see where Daniel's three friends actually had the opportunity to stand up and stand out as well. So we are going to read together Daniel 3, and it's going to be up on the screen. And I'm going to explain some stuff because, you know, I've had the opportunity to be able to just go a little bit deeper into the story, which is actually one of my favourite stories in the Old Testament, in the Bible. And I want to make sure that everyone else has a greater understanding, because for some of you, this could be the first time you ever hear this story. And even if you've heard this story 100 times, you know, there's always something new that God's wanting to just drop into our minds, just to impact us in a new way. So let's begin. So King Nebuchadnezzar, he made a golden statue 90 feet high and 9 feet wide, and he set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then he sent messages to all the princes, governors, captains, judges, treasurers, counselors, sheriffs and rulers of all the provinces of his empire to come to the dedication of the statue. So the king summoned all the leaders within within Babylon to the dedication of his statue. And his statue was actually about 27 metres high and 2.7 metres wide. So if you think of maybe one of the big gum trees out in the car park, that's roughly how big it was. So it's obviously, you know, bigger than what's here. So it was a really big statue that Nebuchadnezzar wanted everyone to come and see it be dedicated. And when all the people had arrived and were standing before the monument, a herald shouted out, "O people of all nations and languages, this is the king's command. When the band strikes up, just as we had before, you are to fall flat on the ground to worship King Nebuchadnezzar's gold statue. Anyone who refuses to obey will immediately be thrown into a flaming furnace." But some of the officials went to the king and accused some of the Jews of refusing to worship, saying, "But there are some Jews out there, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, whom you've put in charge of Babylonian affairs, who have defied you, refusing to serve your gods or to worship the gold statue you've set up. So those names, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were the Babylonian names of Daniel's three Jewish friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So then Nebuchadnezzar, in a terrible rage, he ordered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to be brought in before him. Now, the king had been publicly disgraced, humiliated by Daniel's friends, and he really wanted to avenge himself. But I think he also wanted to give them one more chance, maybe, but nonetheless, he was not going to stand for anyone who didn't obey his word. So take a moment and just think of how you would feel or have felt in the past if you've ever been publicly humiliated. You know, have you wanted to take revenge? Have you felt embarrassed, felt shame or anger, maybe unheard? Because that's how the king was feeling. He wanted to no longer feel that way. He wanted to feel in power and empowered again. So is it true, the king was saying, O Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, that you are refusing to serve my gods or to worship the gold statue I've set up? I'll give you one more chance. When the music plays, if you fall down and worship the statue, all will be well. But if you refuse, you'll be thrown into the flaming furnace within the hour. And what God can deliver you out of my hands then? What do you think you would have done if you were in their shoes? Again, take a moment. Like, you know, as we read God's word, we can very easily just read it as a story. Or maybe we can, alternatively, we can place ourselves into their situation and honestly go, you know, what would I do? How would I respond? You know, do you think you would have had the courage and the faith in God to hold firm to your convictions? Do you think maybe you might have just been really quiet and made yourself small and hidden away so that you could avoid a possible, you know, that situation again in the future? Would you maybe falter in your beliefs? You know, what would you do? And sometimes we have to make a decision to stand up for our Christian beliefs in a moment. You know, we don't have a lot of time to ponder and think, and if they say that, I'll do this and whatever. Sometimes we just have to stand up in a moment. And this was one of those moments for Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego. So those three, they replied, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not worried about what will happen to us. If we're thrown into the flaming furnace, our God is able to deliver us, and he will deliver us out of your hand, your majesty. But you know, even if he doesn't, please understand, sir, that even then we will never, under any circumstances, serve your gods or worship the gold statue you have erected. These guys weren't being arrogant. They were just acknowledging that they would accept the consequences for their actions of standing up for their belief in God. They chose to stand up in faith for their beliefs in God, regardless of the consequences, and not knowing whether God was going to come through for them and save them in the fire, or whether his will might be that they were destroyed. They didn't know the consequences, but yet they still chose to stand up for their beliefs in him. They were just quietly confident, I think, that, you know, God would come through for them in one way or another. They were aware that God could save them, but that maybe God wouldn't. Their obedience to God was more important to them than their life and the outcome of this situation. Now, our faith in God doesn't automatically mean that we're going to have a victory in whatever circumstance, you know, we might be praying for or believing for. But rather, you know, having faith in God means that trusting that he knows best and his timing is best and his will is best and his will be done. So back on now to verse 19. Then Nebuchadnezzar was filled with fury and his face became dark with anger at Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego. He commanded that the furnace be heated up 7 times hotter than usual. That doesn't mean necessarily 7 times hotter in temperature, but 7 times as much fuel. So it would have been a raging inferno. And he called for some of the strongest men of his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the fire. So they bound them tight with ropes and threw them into the furnace, fully clothed. And because the king in his anger had determined or demanded such a hot fire in the furnace, the flames leaped out and killed the soldiers that threw them in. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego fell down bound into the roaring flames. Now, can you imagine again? Think about how hot that fire must have been, that it burned or it killed the guards who threw them in there. And those guards, they obviously didn't have protective clothing, you know, like our firefighters do today when they go into a burning building to, you know, rescue people or put it down. They didn't have that. And the three guys, they were just dressed in their normal clothes. Again, nothing to physically protect them like our firefighters today would have. And I don't know about you, but I've stood next to many a bonfire or a fire in a house, and I've stood too close and I've accidentally moved in such a way that my clothing has stung, you know, my skin, because it's just so darn hot. And this fire was obviously like thousands of times hotter than what that was. So it was very, very, you know, destructive. So just keep looking at this image just while I read a couple of verses that aren't actually on the screen. So Nebuchadnezzar, he was watching his revenge outwork, and he noticed four men unbound walking around in the fire. So they were walking around. They weren't in a heap, you know, on the ground. They were walking around, not hurt by the flames. And he even said that the fourth man looked like a god. Now, I don't know if you can see in that image above the three darkened people. Can you see a whitened image, the fourth person? And some versions of the Bible say that the fourth man is the Son of God, Jesus Emmanuel, who is with us all the time. And whoever that fourth person was, they were definitely supernatural because only three people went in. But the king and others saw the fourth person. Now, I can definitely attest to many times in my life where there's been a supernatural presence, that fourth person, that Son of God, Jesus Emmanuel, has been in my life. And, you know, just recently, Phil and I, we became grandparents to our beautiful little, I think he's 12 weeks old tomorrow, Oliver. But soon after he was born, his mum, who was only 21, she had a stroke, which is obviously pretty unusual, pretty scary for us, obviously very scary for her. You know, she was rushed to the hospital where they were able to perform, you know, some surgery very, very late at night. Her parents came down again. We didn't know if she was going to live or die. But in that horrible ordeal, which went on for a number of days, just going, are the side effects going to be lasting? Is Jesus going to heal her? Like, you know, we didn't know what the outcome was going to be. But yet our faith was in Jesus, was in Jesus healing her. Our faith was in Jesus' peace being evident not only in our lives but in her family's lives as well, because they don't have Christian beliefs the same way that we do. And within a number of days, you know, her speech had returned and she was walking much more steadily. And, you know, we witnessed, and we were actually part of a miracle, which is so beautiful. We sensed that fourth presence, the fourth person, like this, in the furnace. And there's probably many of you who can attest to times where there's just, you've had a supernatural sense of peace and calmness in what would otherwise be a fiery situation. So back to the story again. So Nebuchadnezzar, he gets close to the furnace and he yells out to the three guys to come out of the furnace, and so they did. And then the leaders all gathered around as well and noticed that the fire hadn't touched them. There was no singed hair, their clothes weren't burnt, and they didn't even smell of smoke. And again, if you've been to a bonfire, all you have to be at a bonfire, seriously, I reckon, is like for 5 minutes, and you can come away from that and you can stink like smoke. It just somehow, the smoke, you know, it clings to us. And yet these guys who had been fully immersed in this fire, in this fiery furnace, they came out of it and they didn't even smell of smoke. All right, verse 28. So then Nebuchadnezzar said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, for he sent his angel to deliver his trusting servants when they defied the king's commandments and were willing to die rather than serve or worship any god except their own. Therefore, I make this decree that any person of any nation, language, or religion who speaks a word against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be torn limb from limb and his house knocked into a heap of rubble, for no other God can do what this one does." And as I read that, I go, oh my goodness, what a turnaround for this king. You know, at the beginning, he was like, worship my statue, which was possibly made in his image. You know, do not worship any other god, worship this. To then turning around at the end and going, man, if anyone speaks against this God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you are in trouble. You know, you need to esteem this God because he's powerful and almighty. And then, finally in verse 30, it says, the king gave promotions to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and so they prospered greatly there in the province of Babylon. And as a result of those three guys, you know, standing up for their beliefs in God, they were exalted and promoted, and then they prospered in Babylon. So God equips us to stand up and take action in small situations before we stand up and take action in big situations. And if you remember back to me sharing before, in Daniel chapter 1, these three guys, along with Daniel, they had the opportunity to stand up for something in a smaller situation in regards to whether or not they were going to eat clean food, the food that God had advised through the Torah, which is part of the Old Testament, which God had said was clean or unclean. Were they going to obey that or not? And they chose to stand up in a smaller thing. And then they had this other opportunity presented before them. Were they going to stand up for their belief in God as to would they worship the statue or not? And God always provides us with opportunities where we can stand, take a stand for our beliefs and follow Jesus and his way differently from the culture in which we live. And often when we stand up for our faith beliefs, you know, we don't know the outcome. We don't know how our godly words and actions are going to affect or impact another person's life or their situation. And that's okay. All we have to do is be obedient to what God is asking us to do and just let God do his part. And we just have to do our part, which is maybe stand up and speak or stand up and act. And just recently, Phil, in his workplace, he's had the opportunity to be able to stand up for his beliefs. So he works in the car service industry. And there was just an issue about warranty with a car and it getting fixed and the cost and all of that sort of stuff. And he really wrestled through what was the right thing to do in this situation. And I know he wrestled through because, you know, he shared some of this with me. And as a result, though, he took a stand for his beliefs in righteousness, in the right thing being done. And he trusted God for the outcome. And again, just recently in my work, you know, I've had the opportunity to be able to just stand up and let them know of, you know, that I attend church, of my Christian beliefs, and that I believe in the power of prayer. And, you know, I've been able to message a friend who's going through a really tough time with a family member who's unwell. And, you know, as a result, like, I don't know how she... She responds to my messages with thanks and love hearts and stuff like that. So I know it means something to her, but I don't know what God is doing in her thought patterns. you know, as a result of me just saying, hey, look, I'm praying for your, you know, your family member. And some other, you know, just little ways that I've stood up for my beliefs is, you know, in my workplace. I've been in a job now for 6 months. It's just, you know, not swearing. It's amazing what a difference that can make, because often when others swear, they'll go, oh, sorry, Leanne, oh, sorry. And I'm going, it's okay, you know. Just having a good work ethic as well. You know, it's those sort of little things. That's part of my nature and who God has created me to be. It makes, I stand out from the others, you know, because of my actions or my lack of words or my choice of words and the way that I work. You know, I also stand up for my faith beliefs through signing online petitions and things. You know, like I can't necessarily be the person in Parliament making decisions, but I can still have an influence and I can send, you know, be part of petitions and things and whatever, again, to take a stand for my Christian beliefs. They're all just different ways. So I want to just reinforce that, you know, taking a stand for our beliefs in Jesus does not mean necessarily standing up on a platform or a soapbox or something like that. We can do it in so many little ways. And I think that is what God is wanting to highlight and make aware to us today, that there are so many opportunities presented before us to stand up and stand out for our faith beliefs. And just the other day, I woke up in the morning and first thing I was thinking of was this new job, this new task that I was having to perform. I'm learning a new role. And I felt really uneasy. And I recognised that I was actually feeling like fear. And I'm just like, you know what? I'm going to stand up to this fear because I know that that's not from God. And so just straight away, you know, I just prayed. And the scripture came to mind of, you know, God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind. And I was able to just declare that over myself and stand up to the fear that was trying to just set my day up to be a fearful day. And instead, I was able to set up my day to be one of power, confidence, and a sound mind. So, you know, standing up is simply taking action prompted by our faith and our belief in God. And if we don't stand up for our faith and our belief in God, how will others around us discover Jesus? And if we don't pray for others, how will they be healed? How will they experience Jesus' peace? And if we don't care for others' physical needs or emotional needs, who will? Who will be Jesus to them? Our beliefs are linked to our values. And if you value your car and someone scratches it, you will stand up and you will do something about it. And if you value your children or your friends and someone wants to hurt them, you will stand up and you will do something about it. And if you value your life, you know, we live a certain way if we value our life. We eat healthy, we try to exercise a little bit. You know, we try to watch what we drink, but we act a certain way because we value our life. And if we value Jesus, this will be evident to those around us. And if we don't value Jesus, this too will be evident to those around us. And Jesus calls us to be like him to our family, our friends, our uni friends, our workplace, our community, to bring hope to the hopeless, to bring healing to the sick, to give peace to those who are anxious, to love unconditionally, to give generously, to advocate for the weak and the helpless. And we don't have to stand up in a big way, but there are so many small ways, covert ways, that we can stand up for our belief in Jesus. We can all share the love of Jesus with those around us. We can all stand up for truth, that Jesus came to forgive, to love, to save and redeem us, and to transform us. We can all stand up for that. We can all offer hope for the future because of Jesus. We can all offer for others to have a personal relationship with Jesus because we've experienced that ourselves. And if you haven't experienced that for yourself, we would love to pray for you after the service if that's something that you desire, that you want to go deeper in your relationship with Jesus. We would love to be part of that today. And God is never going to ask us to stand up for something that is greater than what him and us together can do. Today, God is calling us to be like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, where they lived as exiles and strangers and foreigners in a godless culture, yet they stood up for their faith in God. Their allegiance and obedience to God was greater than the culture that they lived in. They stood up for their faith and belief in God, and as a result, they stood out different from those around them. And today, God is calling us to stand up and live a godly lifestyle, to obey his ways and stand out in a society that is not aware of God or cares about God. So today, what is Jesus prompting you to stand up in faith for? To stand out and be different because of your faith in Jesus? Is it praying for a sick friend and letting them know that you are? Is it trusting him for provision? Finance, new car, new job? But letting others know that that's where your faith and your hope is? Is it just being honest and humble in your workplace or at uni or at school? Is it loving a friend or family with unconditional love, even though they're not always kind to you? Are you being asked or prompted maybe to stand out and actually share the good news gospel of Jesus with somebody else? Take a moment again and imagine what our family and community would look like if Jesus was exalted a little bit more because we chose to stand up for truth, for love, for justice, for our faith and belief in him. You know, our community, there would be less anxiety and more peace. There would be less sadness and depression and more joy. There would be less hopelessness and suicide and more hope. There would be more justice than injustice, more love and less hatred, more health and less sickness. So we're going to take a moment right now, and we're going to allow Jesus' Holy Spirit to just highlight the next step that he wants us to take. So I just encourage you, just close your eyes. We're going to have some music going. What's the next step that Jesus wants you to take to stand up in faith in your personal life or your home, your workplace? Maybe you need to ask forgiveness from Jesus for not standing up. Can we have some music, please? Maybe you need to ask forgiveness from Jesus for not standing up or not standing out as different because of your faith. Maybe you need to ask for more courage to stand up more as being different from those around you. Maybe you need to ask for greater awareness of the opportunities to stand up because they already exist. Or maybe you just need to experience a fresh touch of Jesus' great love for you and those around you. So just take a moment and you interact with Jesus Just allow him the opportunity to speak or impress something in your heart.